special guest today, starting with Dr. Lawrence Korb. He is a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress. Prior to that, he's a senior fellow at the Brookings Institute, dean of the Graduate School of the University of Pittsburgh, director of defense studies at the American Enterprise Institute, vice president of corporate operations at Raytheon Corporation, a retired captain in the Navy, and undersecretary of defense under President Ronald Reagan from 81 to 85. Dr. Korb, thanks for being with us.
Nice to be with you.
That is quite a list of accomplishments there.
Well, that just means I'm old.
Tell me this, as I look at your list of accomplishments, how do you go from being the Undersecretary of Defense under Ronald Reagan to the a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress?
Well, I think what happened, in fact, when Reagan turned 100, I wrote an article about it for the Huffington Post. A lot of the things Reagan stood for, we stood for. You know, when we went into Lebanon and overreached, he got out. He raised taxes 11 times after he recognized that supply-side economics wouldn't work. In 83, worked with Moynihan and Dole to reform Social Security, extended the age from 65 to 67.
Right.
And increased the amount that could be taxed. It was only 47.5. Up until then. And in the second term, once, the deficit kicked in, we began to reduce defense spending. So I think, he would be very comfortable. I worry about, some of the folks in the Republican Party who seem to have really forgotten the Reagan legacy.
Really? Let's kind of turn here to Libya just a second. Tell me what your take is, given your background in defense as well as being a captain in the Navy. Give me your assessment of Libya right now, if you would.
Well, I think what we're doing here is we're using all the tools of foreign policy to achieve the objective. The objective, obviously, is to get rid of Gaddafi, but you're not going to do it militarily, because we found out both in Iraq and Afghanistan, when you go in to depose the existing government, you can end up with a mess on your hands that'll take a long time to deal with. So the military goal is to protect the civilians and make sure that Gaddafi can't take back the territory that he's lost. Then you've got the economic thing. You're drying up his financial assets. You've got an embargo. And, you're using the other nations with whom he has a relationship to put pressure on him. And I think the important thing is, given the fact that we, went into Iraq for reasons that turned out not to be true, which undermine our reputation in the Arab and Muslim world, the fact is this is not an American operation. We used our unique capabilities in the beginning, but, the routine part of the no-fly zone doesn't have to be done by the United States.
Well, we had military intelligence saying there was weapons of mass destruction, did we not?
Well, again, it's interesting. If you take a look, I could not read the whole national intelligence estimate. Only members of the Congress could. But Senator Bob Graham of Florida, who insisted on it, then was chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee, and by no means a liberal, he read the whole thing, and he said, if you read that, you realize there's no case for war. And a lot of caveats. Now, the unclassified part that we saw, glossed over the fact. But, my view is, if you're going to engage in a preventive war where there's no immediate threat, the burden of proof's on you. You're going to be darn sure that there's no doubt about whether, in fact, there are weapons of mass destruction, particularly nuclear weapons. I mean, you don't invade a country just because they have chemical weapons. It really has got to be nuclear weapons.
All right, so back to Libya just a second. It sounds like to me that you think that we're doing a good job there.
Well, I think so. I mean, if you take a look, and the other thing I didn't mention, we're broke, So
good point.
If we had to pay for this whole thing ourselves, I don't think it would be worth it. But other countries are more concerned and say, okay, fine, that's good. Then you guys use your capabilities as well. Our costs right now are down to $40 million a month. I mean, if you look at, we're spending, that much in a week, in a day almost in Afghanistan. So I think we did it right. I mean, you got the Arab League asked for it, so that, gets away from this thing about, the colonial powers coming back. The UN approved it. It gives it legitimacy. And the resolution that they had from the UN, while not perfect, is a lot more robust than just, quote-unquote, a no-fly zone, because it does allow you to use all necessary means.
Well, certainly you're in a position to know. So, see, from my perspective, I look at this, I watch the news, and again, you have more information than I have. It sounds like I don't understand what the goal in Libya is. Do you?
Well, yeah, as I say, the goal of the military, so you got to distinguish between your political goal and your military goal. The military goal here is to protect the civilians here from, you know, what Gaddafi said publicly he wanted to do to them. So that's your military goal, and your long-term goal is to get rid of them, but you're not going to do that, you know, militarily, because I think the president put it pretty well in his, you know, speech he gave on April 9th, where he said, you know, we've tried regime change, you know, by force, and, you know, then pick up the pieces. I mean, you know, if you look at Afghanistan, it was regime change by force. That was 2001. We're still there, you know, trying to deal with it, spending over $100 billion a year. In Iraq, it's cost us well over $1 trillion and 5,000 lives trying to, you know, get that society back to where it needs.
So if that's the thinking, why wouldn't we go into, say, Somalia or Rwanda or Darfur?
Well, again, I think you've got to take a look and you got to decide on a cost-benefit basis. Look, there's all kinds of problems in the world. You have
right.
to ask yourself, can you make a difference in the United States? Is it something that can be done in a cost-effective manner? I mean, if the world community came together and said, we got to do something about Darfur, and, you know, we'd like the United States to, you know, get involved, I'd say, great. But that would not just be us, you know, dealing with it. And, you know, similarly, I mean, you look what happened in Somalia. We went in with the best of intentions, and then we changed the mission. You know, the mission was to,
right.
you know, keep the people from starving. The next thing you know, we were trying to install a government. Well, people didn't like it. See, I think we forget sometimes, and I think we're a great country, and our intentions are usually very good. But other people don't see it. They see it as, hey, you guys are coming in trying to, you know, impose your will on us. And so we're going to fight you, even though we agreed with what you know, got rid of the, you know, the dictators or came in to feed us. So I think, you know, we need to keep that in mind before we get involved. And one of the things about Libya, the opposition people wanted us to come in. They asked for us.
Right. We don't really know who exactly those folks are, I guess. So that's the news reports. It says that some, or the news reports are that some of those folks may have ties to Al-Qaeda. Do you have more information than me on that?
Well, that's right. Yeah, I mean, what's going to happen, and I think, you know, when you have change, you never know who's going to capture revolution. I mean, you go back and look what happened in Iran in 1979. I mean, the Shah was a horrible person. He had secret police and everything, and so, you know, you were sympathetic with the, you know, the people wanting to get rid of him. You did not know who was going to be captured, you know, by, the radical clerics. And here, you know, you don't know what's going to happen here. So that's why I think, you know, you don't want to, you know, invest a lot of American blood treasure and then find out, you know, it's controlled, you know, by a group that's not hospitable toward us or is captured by another group. And so I think that's why it's important for the whole international community. My guess is if we, you know, Gaddafi is forced out because he runs out of money and the people start deserting him and things like that, you better put a UN peacekeeping force in there to kind of stabilize the situation until you can turn it over to a responsible government. Because if there's chaos, some other group will seize control, and the chances are that they're not going to be sympathetic to us.
I got about 1 minute left, and I want to get this question out to you. The president didn't get congressional approval. He got UN approval. Tell me your thoughts there, and do you think that the president's intention was for more of a global government?
Well, I think that, you know, if you look, the president was right to get UN approval. He should have consulted more with the Congress. But by the time he got the UN approval, which he got first, which is the same thing the first President Bush did, you couldn't have had a big debate in Congress because, you know, people were about to be killed. And, you know, so and under the War Powers Act, you have 30 days, really, to, you know, to do that.
I got you. All right, we're coming up on a hard break. We're talking today to Dr. Lawrence Korb. If folks want to find out more about you, is there a website they can go to?
Yeah, that's AmericanProgress.org.
All right, the AmericanProgress.org. Dr. Korb, thanks so much for being with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Doc.
Thanks for having me.
Yes, sir. Take care.